Father, I just thank you and I praise you for who you are and what you are. And thank you for loving us so much that you put this song service together, because you want us to have joy deep down inside, the joy that the enemy can't touch. And Father, I just thank you for everybody who came out this morning. And you know each and every person here this morning, Father. You know every need. And I'm asking you to meet those needs this day. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus, your Holy Spirit, and your angelic host, Father, who's walking among us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. When we were singing, God said, you haven't seen nothing yet. And I could just see the glory just in here, amidst all over the pulpit. God is getting ready to do great and wonderful. He's already started, but it's going to get stronger. Great and wonderful things. And he wants each one of his children who have been hanging on for dear life, he wants you to understand that you're getting ready to quit hanging and just float. Just float with him and the blessings are going to start flowing. And God told us years ago that even when there was darkness, there'd still be light. And that's what I believe. I believe what God tells us. And I know he's not a man that he just talks just to be talking. He means everything he says. And when he told me fire in the hole this morning, I was just so excited about that. And, you know, I don't know what he's going to do. But he's going to do something great and powerful. And when that happens, everybody's going to be changed totally and completely. And we'll never be the same again. And you who are just hanging on the edges, just sort of coming and going as you please, you're going to be sorry, because God said if you did that, then when the river truly flowed, you wouldn't be able to get in. So if you know to do right and you're not doing right, then that's on you. It's not on me, and it's not on God. Amen. I really don't sing hardly anything because that's what happens to my throat. But I had to sing this morning, so you have to put up with my throat. All right, you know, God, he said to me, I said, what are you going to teach this morning? And he said, where are the Peters? So this is what God started prophesying. It is time for the Peters to come forth and take their rightful place in my kingdom. The time is ripe and the Peters are needed. I need those whose shadows will heal the sick. I need those who know me and follow me with all their heart. Peter thought he knew me and thought he was serving me, but the day came when he understood he was not giving me all honor and glory. That's in the houses all over the world. The Peters are sitting in the house of God. And I know Peter was a man, but as I was doing, I said, God, there's women too that are doing this. And I know they're the Ruths and the Esthers. But, you know, women, I want you to take this to heart this morning too. All right, so then Jesus said, Peter, number one, wept bitter tears of repentance. And number two, picked up his cross. And number three, served me. He did that when he understood he was not giving God all the honor and glory that was need him. So Peter wept bitter tears of repentance, picked up his cross, and served me. Jesus goes on to say, in Peter's latter days, he showed me great honor. Because of this, my glory followed him wherever he went. We are in the latter days, and I'm believing that the body of Christ is repenting. And that you men are repenting too, and you women, and you men are starting to take your rightful place in God's kingdom. All right, God goes on to say, the same is true today. The Peters who are sitting in my house, thinking they are serving me, must now come forth with great repentance and allow me to use them for my glory. As I have spoken before and will continue to speak, eye has not seen nor ear heard what I'm about to do. And he tells me that over and over and over again. So we're getting ready to, we are already on the very edge of the greater works. And I wouldn't lose that for nothing. And God told me years ago, nobody's going to ride on my coattail. You know, you're not going to come in Lighthouse of the Church and write on the glory that God's given this church. You're going to have to work for your own glory. And then we all work together. And then we see the greater glory. All right, question, who was Peter? The Apostle Peter, also known as St. Peter, Simon Peter, and Cephas, was one of the 12 main disciples of Jesus Christ. And along with James and John, he was one of Jesus' closest companions. You know, it says that he was one of the main disciples. Jesus had more than the 12 disciples. What are we? Disciples. So, you know, we're an extension of the disciples that was in the New Testament. All right, then I said, and along with James and John, Peter was one of Jesus' closest companions. After the resurrection, Peter became one of the most influential Christian leaders in the first century, and according to Catholic tradition, he was also the first pope. And I looked it up, and they did say he was the first pope. Peter was the rock on which Jesus would build the church. Now, men, he's calling forth the Peters. Listen to what he's saying. Matthew 16:16 says, Simon Peter said, you're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. See, Jesus had asked him who he was. Jesus came back, God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on this secret of who I really am. I'm going to tell you to stop there reading that. I'm going to tell you right now, the Peters that God said are sitting in the church do not know who Jesus Christ really is. If you did, we wouldn't have the marriage, the family problems that we have. We wouldn't have the divorces. We wouldn't have the arguing and bickering. We wouldn't have men being ignorant to their children. But they would be so full of love and compassion that our children wouldn't be in the condition they're in today. I blame a lot of what's going on with our kids today is the men in the world, because I don't care if you're married or not, you're not taking your rightful place as a priest in your home or in your relationships, and therefore the children have suffered dearly. Then Jesus goes on to say in verse 18, and now I'm going to tell you who you are. He's talking to Peter. He's talking to you. Who you are really are. You are Peter, a rock. This is a rock on which I will put together my church. A church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. And that's not all. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom. Keys to open any and every door. No more barriers between heaven and earth. Earth and heaven. A yes on earth is yes in heaven. A no on earth is no in heaven. That was in the Message Bible. The New King James says, Jesus says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You men are not fulfilling your calling in Christ Jesus. You're blaming the situations in the world on the world, but really and truly, where were you? Were you on your knees in prayer? Were you taking your family to the house of God? Was you treating your wife and your children with the respect and the love and the consideration that God calls you to treat them? And don't sit there and say, yes, 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 because it's no, no, no. Ever since I've been preaching, which is since 1980, I've been asking God to raise up the men. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of looking at just women's faces in the house of God. I would like to look at men and women's faces in the house of God. And I would like it when men come in, quit walking in condemnation, get yourself right with God, and then be the man of the household that you should be. Peter was a fish. We said, who is Peter? Okay, who was Peter? Peter was a fisherman by trade, along with his brother Andrew, who also was a disciple of Jesus. But Peter grew into a gifted preacher and a bold leader. So listen to everything about Peter here. Apply it to your own life and then change. In the Gospels, Peter was portrayed as impetuous, always speaking his mind and acting on impulse. In the book of Acts, Peter's decisiveness transformed him into someone the early Christians constantly relied on and turned to. You don't have to stay the way you are. You can change. And don't say, well, so-and-so, if they do this. No, it's not about so-and-so and doing anything. It's about you changing. Well, if my wife would just, or if my husband would just get out of here. Jesus did. He didn't just. He did. And you have no excuse for remaining who you are if you're not following God. The first time Jesus saw Peter, he named him the Rock. And Jesus prophesied his future to him. In John 1, 41 through 42, Andrew first found his own brother Simon. Okay, so they had just been with Jesus, all right? So Andrew then went and found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. He immediately led him to Jesus. This is Peter who he did this to, all right? He immediately led Peter to Jesus, Jesus took one look up and said, "You're John's son, Simon. From now on, your name is Cephas," or Peter, which means rock. This is the very first time that Jesus had seen Peter. But he took one look at Peter, and he saw in Peter what he was supposed to be doing. And he encouraged Peter, "You're John's son, Simon. From now on, your name is Cephas," or Peter, which means rock. God wants to change your name today. He wants to change the situations in your lives. And he wants you to bring you forth as a Peter. Are you listening here? He no longer wants you to sit around and act like a beggarly nobody. He wants you to rise up in your rightful place in the house of God. You know, men, women can't do this. God, first of all, made Adam. Then he made Eve. And he made the men the priest of the household, not the women. And what God is, you know, we had the first women's conference, and what God showed me in that was that the women are a bunch of Jezebels, you know, not loving their spouses the way they should. Or you might have had a bad father, so then you're pushing what they did onto your husbands. And it's just, and then you become bitter and hard to the core, and then you become a Jezebel. There's men Jezebels too. But I'm just showing you what God has been showing me. You men must rise up and do what is right. First of all to God, and then in your homes, in your businesses, on the streets. All right, I said, God wants to change your name today. Peter's not the only person in the Bible that Jesus changed their name. We know that. Because of Peter's name change, he became part of Jesus' inner circle. And God is looking for an inner circle right now of men who will come to him with all their heart. And you have to just really think about what you've been doing. Why you've been doing it. Maybe you don't know why you're doing it, but you need to start going back, and you need to start, I'm hearing God say, regurgitate, and just find out why you are not where you're supposed to be with Christ right now. There are three occasions in the Gospels where Jesus only allows Peter and the sons of Zebedee, James and John, to witness things none of the other disciples saw. All right, so I said here, because of Peter's name change, he became part of Jesus' inner circle. And Jesus' inner circle was Peter, James, and John. He had other disciples, but those three he took wherever he went. God wants to change your name today, make you a part of the inner circle, so he reveals everything to you. Because you are in the inner circle. Of course, it'd be more than three. But he's looking for men who he can bring into the inner circle and trust them with the secrets of his gospel. All right, I said there are three occasions in the gospel where Jesus only allows Peter and the sons of Zebedee, James, and John to witness things none of the other disciples saw. Including the first time he demonstrated his power over death, the most powerful revelation of his true identity in his most desperate moment. And let's look at that first occasion was. Jesus raises a dead girl in Mark 5:35. As the crowds were pressing around him, Jesus received word that the girl he was on the way to heal, which was Jairus' daughter, had died. He went to her house anyways, and he did not let anyone... Holly, honey, can you go back there and help Catherine? Jesus went to her house anyways, knowing she was dead, and he did not let anyone to follow him except Peter, James, and John. He wouldn't let anybody else go into the house. In the house, only the girl's parents and the three disciples watched as Jesus raised her from the dead. See, he wasn't out there to make a name for himself, or he'd have made sure everybody saw what he was doing. All right, on the second occasion, which is the transfiguration in Matthew 17, starting at verse 1, the second time Jesus invites these three to see something special is a few days after he first predicts his own death. He takes them to a mountain where they see something unlike anything Jesus had done before. It says, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And if you read it all, it's Peter wanted to build a temple and this and that and the other. And then verse 5 says, while Peter was still speaking about all these wonderful things he wanted to do, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Peter, James, and John were the only ones that witnessed this. Why are you men so content to just sit in a dead grave and have no great encounters with the Father? God really wants to take you men to a place like he took Peter, James, and John. And he wants to show you the deep secrets of heavenly places so that you can come back like they did and share those secrets with the world. And ladies, I want you to know that you can do the same thing because God does that with me. And I'm not a man. I'm a woman from head to toe. He can take a woman and do the very same thing. God has taken me to places and showed me his deep secrets. And he's done wonderful things to me like he did to Peter. So that's why I'm saying it's just not for the men. You women can enter into this too, but it's really God is calling the men back into the house of God. All right, Matthew 17. Oh, no, I read that. Not long before this moment, Peter called Jesus a Messiah. That's Matthew 16. He called him a Messiah, and then God let him see Jesus as a Messiah. Now Peter knew God hadn't just sent his people a Savior. He sent them his Son. So Peter had personal revelation that Jesus was truly the Son of God. God wants to reveal that to you, man. You don't know that. You just think he's just somebody you talk about. But he truly is the Son of God, and he truly does love each and every one of you. I have a hard time with men who don't treat their families right. I really do. I really do. Because, you know, God is a father. And he made Adam. Adam was a father. Abraham was a father. And you men are not living your roles as fathers in the house of God. Instead of building up your family, you're tearing it down. And one day you're going to have to stand before the Maker and be accountable for that. But, you know, that makes me sick too, because in the meantime, you're destroying all these people. You know, just because you don't want to serve God the way you ought. I'm sorry this is getting hard. I didn't know it was going to get hard. third occasion, the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26:36. On the night Jesus knew he would be captured, Jesus took his disciples into Gethsemane, as he often did. He told them to keep watch while he prayed. See, he says he took his disciples, okay, into the garden. He told them to keep watch while he prayed, and then he took Peter, James, and John with him. He left his disciples down here, and they went over here. You see this? He wanted these three men that he loved to be with him in his hour of dire need. Peter, one of the disciples in Jesus' inner circle, denied him not only once but three times. Peter was in the inner circle, and he denied Jesus. Let's look at Luke 22:56. Maybe some of you men have been in the inner circle. Maybe you at one time followed God with all your heart, but somewhere along the line something happened and you started denying him. You started saying there is no Christ. Luke 22:56, a servant girl saw Peter seated there in the firelight. This is after they captured Jesus, by the way. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with Jesus. But Peter denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. Second denial. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. And Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he denied Jesus three times before the rooster crowed. And Peter, then in verse 62, and Peter went outside and wept bitterly. See, if you're one of those who has denied Christ, then you need to weep bitterly. You need to repent. Then after Peter wept bitterly and repented, we find that Jesus reinstates Peter in John 21:14. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Now he said, feed my lambs, these little baby Christians. And he's telling Peter, if you really love me, feed these baby Christians. Don't let them starve. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. So these little lambs have grown up. And now Jesus is telling him, take care of them now. Watch over them. The third time Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. You know, they were little lambs, and to take care of them. And then they became sheep, and he said, now you take care of these. As lambs, he had to grow them up, and he had to feed them the word. And then at the end, then God said, feed my sheep. Okay, the lambs are now grown up, but they still need fed. And he's telling Peter, I want you to do that. I want you to feed the sheep. I know this story so well, but you know why? Because God did this to me one time. He took me to the scriptures I did not know was in the word. And he spoke to me the same thing. He said the same thing to me that he said to Peter. That's why I'm saying, you ladies, this is just not for the Peters, male ones. This is for you too. I was going through a bad time, and the body of Christ does not want to hear about God. You preach, you teach, signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, God was raising the dead, and still people were coming in here, watching all the miracles going out there. Never changed. And I got disgusted with that, and then God took me to this scripture. So I did what God asked me to do. If I really, really do love Jesus, then I'm going to do my job. You men, if you really do love Jesus, then you're going to quit your junk. And you're really going to do God's good job and quit making excuses why you can't be in the house of the Lord, why you can't spend time in God's presence, and why you don't feed his sheep. Jesus specifically asked Peter to feed his sheep, giving him the responsibility of shepherding his followers. Men, if you had the gall to marry somebody, then you need to shepherd that family. You need to be the priest in that household. And you need to do it right. Not your way, but God's way. And verse 18 said, "Verily, verily, I tell you," he's talking to Peter, "when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. After he told him how he was going to die, what he was going to have to go through, then Jesus said to him, "Follow me. Even though you know what's waiting ahead, follow me." Are you listening? You know, when I first was born again and God called me into ministry, he said, "Some are born to suffer, and you will always suffer for the sake of my son." So I knew that being a minister of the gospel, I was going to suffer. I didn't know how deep, I didn't know how wide, but I knew my road was not going to be a rose garden. I still followed Jesus. You men have got to do the very same thing. Take up your rightful place in the body of Christ. I was told the other day that men do not like women preachers. Well, if you don't like women preachers, then why don't you do it? Why don't you pay the price, and why don't you do it? Why are you sitting around judging me? You know, you pay the price I paid, and then do what you think that I can't do or any other woman can't do. Jesus told Peter he would die a terrible death, and then Jesus said, "Follow me." When you are privileged to be in Jesus' inner circle, you are privy to all of heaven and all the attacks from hell. You know, when God used that word privy, so I just wrote it in there. When you are privileged to be in Jesus' inner circle, you are privy to all of heaven. And then he said, and all the attacks from hell. Just because you're born again and preaching the gospel or going to church does not mean that the enemy will not attack you. That's just the opposite. He will come after you with everything he has. And he has a lot in his arsenal, believe me. And he will throw it at you at every turn. God is calling the Peters, the rocks, to come forth this morning and have free access to the portals of heaven. He's already calling you a rock before you ever become one. But he's saying, "Well, you just have, by faith, come and be that rock." When you come forth, Jesus said, when you come forth as Peters, your shadow will heal the sick. You will walk in the miraculous continually, not just now and then. He said, your words will carry authority. You are my Peters that I have had on the backside of the desert. And this day I am pulling you forth. No excuses, just total submission to your loving Father. Just as Peter wept bitterly, I am calling you to weep tears of total repentance, never to go back into the dredges of sin. It's still God speaking. Peter understood the hardship that he would have to face, but he girded himself and went forth to do my bidding. This day I want to reveal to you just who I truly am. Still Jesus speaking. Like Peter, when you have this revelation, you will go forth with total boldness to speak the truth to a lost and dying world. And you will bring the harvest of lost souls into my kingdom, just as Peter did on the day of Pentecost. Let's reread John 21:19. He said this to hint at the kind of death by which, you know, Jesus said this to hint at the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he commanded, "Follow me." Look at the first thing Peter does. Turning his head, Peter noticed a disciple Jesus loved following right behind, who was John the Beloved. When Peter noticed him, he asked Jesus, "Master, what's going to happen to him?" See, there you are. You're more concerned about, you know, you're going to have to pay more of a price than he does. Jesus said, "If you want him to live until I come again," no, I'm sorry, "if I want him to live until I come again, what's that to you? You follow me." Puts in mind of my late husband. You know, we went to a prophet's conference. He came out of the room just fit to be tied. I said, "What's your problem?" He said, "God told me that I couldn't do the things other people do because of the calling on my life. Some Christians, you know, God doesn't chastise, and he doesn't call them to do, be holy and pure. But my husband, because of the calling in his life, he couldn't walk like other Christians, like other men walk. So, man, why do you do this?" "Well, he doesn't have to do this, so I'm not going to do this." You're worse than a woman. You know, I expected out of a woman, not out of a man. You know, like God told Peter, "If I want John to live until I come again, what's that to you? You follow me. You fulfill your calling on your life." Not, I always tell you, you know, you have your own personality. God calls you to do a certain thing. He doesn't have somebody else like you. He didn't make clones. And so when he calls you, you are supposed to do that special thing for him. Not everybody is called to walk as Peter. Everybody's callings are different. We all have different personalities. But this morning, God is calling forth a company. Not just one Peter. A company of Peters to go forth in demonstration of his power and might. Will you answer that call? If you answer the call, you will walk in Acts 5, 12, 16 continually. I'm going to stop there for a second. You, we have the Conqueror series, I think it's called. There's all kind of programs out there for men, but I don't see men standing up and doing what they're supposed to be doing. I mean, women are just as bound as men, but we're talking about Peter's a swing, all right? And my heart's desire has been for, what, 40 years now, God, please bring the men forth. Please let them stand in their positions that you want them to stand in. Us women would love to see you men standing up. Godly men. There are too many ungodly male pastors out there. There's ungodly females out there too, but right now we're talking about men. And I would love to see godly men stand in the pulpit and watch Jesus Christ work through them with signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, I see men sit in the house of God and they're acting so pious, and they go home and lord it over their kids. That bothers me. You're not a man when you do that. You're not a man when you smack your wife around. You know, you're not a man when you're ignorant to other people. You need, you know, God, Jesus keeps saying, "Read my word and see how my son Jesus really is, and then become just like Jesus." I don't see that. I don't know if you don't read it or you read it and just don't care what it says, but you are not just like Jesus. All right, I'm going to make a sign of the shoe fits, puts it on. If it doesn't, I used to have one that got lost. You know, if you're living a godly life, doing everything God calls you to do, and you know without a shadow of a doubt, if Jesus dropped down in front of you today, that you could look him square in the eyes and you go right to heaven, fine. But if you know that would never happen, then you need to look up, and you need to straighten up, and you need to start being the man of God that God's called you forth to do. There's more divorces in the church than there is in the world. And that should, it could be because in the world they just live together. You know, so you don't divorce somebody you're living with, you just walk out the door, right? But there's so many divorces in the house of God, and that should never be. I mean, the Holy Spirit told me to say that, that's why, but that's the truth. All right, I said, if you answer the call, you will walk in Acts 5, 12, 16 continually. And this is what it says, that through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all, A-L-L, healed and delivered. Paul, now, you know, all right, so that's a teaching, but I ran across a little tidbit this morning that I want to bring out here. This is what you men are supposed to be doing. All right, women, I'm a woman. I think I've been preaching now 40 years, 35, something like that. Through me, God raised 3 dead men and a dog. I've seen all kind of healings all over, all kind of healings. You know, and I've had God's take me into places, into visions and dreams. You know, God has brought the alabaster box to me. You know, he's done so many things to me, and I'm not a man. So you women, if you really, really want to prove that Jesus is real, then surrender to God. Surrender to him. I was married twice, and neither one of the men loved me. But I didn't go out and carouse. You know, I stayed holy and pure. When my first husband said he was no longer loved me, but he knew I wanted to, didn't want my children to have step parents. He said, we'll live together, we'll be happy, raise the children together, but we will never have a relationship. Fine. Nobody knew that we were living like that. Everybody thought we was the happiest people in the world. I found out years later that a lot of people wish they could live like I did and have the kind of lifestyle that I had. I just kept being me. I wanted to raise my kids in a godly home. And that's what happened. In the second marriage, God asked me to marry the man so he could be saved. He said he couldn't find another woman that wouldn't go down to his level. And he knew I wouldn't go down to his level, but I would bring him to mine. And when he died, he was saved. It took 19 years to do this. And in the meantime, I did not have a relationship there either. I kept myself holy. I kept myself pure. And I can stand before God, and I know I go to heaven. Not bragging, because I tell everybody, I could lose myself. The Bible tells me I can lose my salvation at any given time. So once saved, always saved is not true, and you can find that in the Bible. And my kids say, Mom, I'm raising my 2 grandsons. Will you go to heaven? And I said, I don't know. I work every day. The Bible says, work out your salvation how? Daily. I said, every day I just keep working and keep walking with God, praying that I won't do something stupid and have a heart attack and die. That's how the devil works. So don't tell me that you have to carouse and do all this other junk. No, you don't. I said to God, I said, you know, I'm a young girl. I have emotions like everybody else, but I don't want to sin. You take every emotion away from me. And he did. And when he asked me to marry the second time, I said, God, I don't have no desires. He said, I'll return those desires. And then when that marriage didn't work out, and God knew, I knew what was going to happen. I said, God, take the desires again. He did. And I didn't go around gawking at every man that come down the pike. I was following Jesus, not the lust of the flesh. You men can do the very same thing. God thought very highly of you to make you first. And I never want a man, I don't want to usurp a man's authority. That's not why God put me on earth. When I was first born again, went into church, I heard submit, 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 submit. And I went home and I said, God, what's this submit all the time? He said, if my men and my women would live according to my word, that word would never be heard anywhere. is because they're not living the way my word tells them to live. And that's why you hear submit all the time. I never used that word. I didn't like it. All right. We know that Peter, James, and John were in the upper circle with God. Peter was thought very highly of. If you read the word, he was the man. Now Paul comes along, right? And in Galatians 2:11-21, Paul confronts Peter. Peter could have said, "Who do you think you are to confront me?" Now look at this. Despite the vision and experience he had with the Gentiles in Acts 10, Peter struggled to disentangle himself from the culture, prejudice, and favoritism of his fellow Jewish believers. He could never get himself together there. So Paul called him out on it in Galatians 2:11. Later, when Peter came to Antioch, this is Paul speaking, I had a face-to-face confrontation with him because he was clearly out of line. Here's a situation. Earlier, before certain persons had come from James, Peter regularly ate with the non-Jews, but when that conservative group came from Jerusalem, he cautiously pulled back and put as much distance as he could manage between himself and his non-Jewish friends. There was nothing wrong with him being with these people. That's how fearful he was of the conservative Jewish clique that's been pushing the old system of circumcision. Unfortunately, the rest of the Jews in the Antioch church joined in that hypocrisy, so that even Barnabas was swept along in the charade. Peter was causing some people to fall. But when I saw that they were not maintaining a steady, straight course according to the message, I spoke up to Peter in front of them all. If you, a Jew, he's saying to Peter, live like a non-Jew when you're not being observed by the watchdogs from Jerusalem, what right do you have to require non-Jews to conform to Jewish customs just to make a favorable impression on your old Jerusalem cronies? He's just putting up a face, putting up a front, pretending he was something he wasn't. Paul goes on to explain how he lectured Peter in front of the others. This passage is often used to illustrate that even Peter was clearly capable of making poor decisions and received correction from other apostles. The reason why I thought that was so interesting is, I don't care how big you become with God, man or woman, you always can be corrected. And God will correct you if you need correction. So if you decide this morning I'm going to become a Peter, and you're following God with all your heart, but you're doing something stupid, know that God's going to send somebody to correct you. People have come in here to correct me, and I'm not above correction. Pastors would come in here, and at the end of the service, they cry and stand by crying and say, I came to disgrace her, but I can find no fault in her. So what I'm saying here is, men, if you decide this morning that you're going to sell yourself out to God like Peter did, keep yourself holy and pure, and then nobody can come against you like they did, like Paul did Peter, because you know with every fiber of your being, you're doing exactly what God told you to do. I'm going to give you an example. God asked me to marry my second husband, and I didn't want to. Believe me, I didn't want to. And I said, what's going to happen if I do this thing for you? I hadn't told him I'd do it yet. He said, whenever you announce you're going to marry him, half the people's going to leave. And we had packed out house all the time. And he said, the day you get married, everybody's going to leave you but a handful. So when I went into that marriage, I knew I was going to lose the church. Because I still want you to do it, because a grandmother prayed for this young man, and I'm going to use you to answer her prayer. So what are you willing to give up to serve God? Are you willing to give up everything, your reputation? And believe me, people in this area have run me to the end of the mud. I can't find my own self some mornings. But I'm doing it for Christ, not for anybody else. I'm doing it for the souls out there that need to hear the truth. I'm doing it so that God can raise you guys up, men and women up, and so you can be in your rightful place with Christ that you should be, and that you can walk forward and fulfill your destiny that God has laid out for you.